It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins.
Oh!
An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for it must be a Tuesday, but baby, it's always a Tuesday around here. Maybe a more special Tuesday than anybody could have.
No.
You know, Joe, I think when we decided to move to Tuesdays, Patrick Harris here with you, Joe Fisher to my left. Joe would normally say let's go, but maybe the word is ayúdame, which is Espanol for help me.
No, this is the most important thing going on in the world tonight, this show.
I don't think we looked ahead realize that we'd have a show on tonight. Nobody is listening to this show tonight.
Also,
nobody is listening to this show tonight.
That's exactly what I told my wife.
What is Spanish for what the hell is on your head right now? Something cabeza. That...
Speakero está en mi cabeza.
If you're listening right now, one, bless your little heart, and two, go to youtube.com/1080amthefan. It looks a little bit better without the hat, but that's a look, man. After seeing you with the Apple headphones, see, you're seeing yourself now.
It looks pretty ridiculous.
After the Apple headphones that you've been wearing for the last 10
since
years,
I started the show.
Yeah, and you wearing
same ones.
When you look at me just straight on, just portrait you.
What up, dude?
Oh my god. I don't know if I can look at you this entire show.
So I keep my headphones wrapped up and I put them in my microphone condom, and that lives in the glove box of my car. So whenever we have to do this show, I can just reach into the glove box and grab it. Sorry, my ear itches.
You're crushing it with those headphones.
Pause the show,
already.
Baby.
Yeah. And I can't find them. I've been using Jason Sukanik's for
gross.
The last few weeks, but I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. These, I am building a vintage 1974 Pioneer hi-fi system at my house.
Okay.
I have the reel-to-reel player.
And when does the AARP card come in?
I have the reel-to-reel player, I have the receiver, and I have the turntable. I am missing the cassette deck and the 8-track player that matches the whole catalog brand from 1974.
And your liver spots.
These are the 1974 highest-end headphones that you could buy. So I plug them into the receiver when I want to listen to records, and the kids are in bed.
And a nice bottle of scotch by my side.
Yeah, I recognize those from, like, my elementary
school. The Giants
win
the pennant! The Giants win the pennant!
And they go berserk! God. A four-bagger!
No, those are literally what were next to, like, the old, what was it, the floppy computer in your
the
first
floppy
grade
disk?
Class?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You those are before that. That is before in-home computer times. They are just, dude, I can't.
They're huge.
I can't.
These are my headphones today, man.
Yeah, I know, and I don't know how. I'm just going to keep looking at the TV behind you, because apparently something's going on where there's a map with a whole lot of red on it right now.
I'll tell you what, though, Joe. When I'm at home and I plug these in to my receiver and listen to records, it sounds amazing.
I'm sure.
It sounds terrible right now.
Really?
I can hear you.
Oh.
But, like, your voice.
Well, I would hope.
My
with
voice,
those things.
My voice and your voice has so much girth and layers. Ooh, to it.
Girthy. Who doesn't like a good girth?
Hey, I put it on my Christmas list
this year.
Those are
girthy headphones.
Yes. I put it on my Christmas list. I found, like, the best headphones you can buy at an average value for talk radio. They're $100. They're on my Christmas list. If I come in on Jan 1 with those, or Jan 6, whatever it might be, you'll know that somebody followed my list. Look at it. Look at it. It comes with this box. I'll show the YouTube people.
I like how you held it up to the computer.
This is turning into like a YouTube unboxing video.
Okay, Grandpa.
Okay, stop. Okay,
Pop Pop.
Stop.
I think it's time for bed.
Stop counting the vote. I'm going to win.
Do I hold the box up to the computer?
In this box also has.
Where's the camera?
Also has the little, the.
Dude, hand me.
Operating guide.
Hand me that manual.
And there, yeah.
Is that the warranty postcard?
You know, it is. It came with it when I bought it. Look, it says Pioneer on the box. This sweet little box that my headphones fit in.
Is there a manufacturer date on this?
Got an Amazon affiliate link in the description.
Oh, my God. The diagrams on this thing, look how old they are.
Yeah, dude.
Jesus.
So they match your setup perfectly.
That's what I got tonight. That's what I got. What do you want from me?
Better than no headphones, right?
Better than putting Sukanix. You know, he's a white supremacist. What do I know? He's probably got Trump vibes. I probably would have changed my vote if I wore those.
Trump
too
sells headphones, too? I wouldn't be surprised.
I was going to say, would you be shocked?
Sells steak, sells bottles of water, sells everything.
Well, he can't sell steaks anymore.
No, they
or is it
them.
The college he can't sell anymore?
The college got.
All the fraud is kind of just blending in.
Well, Sukanik and I live in the same state, so we might as well be on the same team.
Well, politically wise?
I want to manufacture.
Well, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Look, let me ask you this. You want the skinny liberal kid or the giant dude that is compared to a white supremacist?
This is...
I mean, I'll probably...
I'm going to side with the giant dude.
I'm going to go with the giant guy.
This box...
We're all security. We're all joking here. Jason Sukanik is a wonderful human being, not a white supremacist.
I feel like a mini typewriter should come out of this thing. Like,
Aaron, that's a four-banger, and Bill Mazeroski hit a home run to beat the Yankees.
If you're listening to this or not watching on YouTube...
Nobody is listening to this, Joe.
Jumping the shark.
Shut up!
Maybe Jason and Isaac are on their way home, but outside of them, nobody is listening.
Those are our two listeners.
No. That's it. I'll tell you what, though. Our two listeners right now do have the number one sports radio show in town.
Damn right.
According to who?
Me.
Oh.
I'm a big deal. Look at my headphones.
Can't you see these big old radio headphones?
The bigger your headphones, the bigger you are.
Just girthy.
They feel great, though.
They comfy?
I'll try them all.
Oh, they're fantastic.
See, they don't look so comfy, so that's good.
When you're listening to music, how it resonates, you don't even notice how it feels.
Those things are preposterous. I'm telling you.
You saying great. The word preposterous just put you up in the AARP listing with
it's a
Patrick.
Good word. It's a good word.
I feel great. That's all I got to say. I think these are awesome.
Yeah, but the moment that you find your iPod headphones, you are switching back to those immediately.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately. And maybe somebody out there somewhere in the ethers that want to buy me a Christmas present, I've got the link and everything for you.
Yeah, the Sony HDRs. I think I know which pair you're talking about.
That's it.
Yep. Yep. Run about $100.
Yep.
Yeah,
those they're like $99.89. Yep. Those are what I want. That's what I want.
You've been seeing radio peeps wear those for 25 years.
Yep, yep. And I'm old school because I don't have
they
a
are
job.
The MDRs.
MDR.
An HDR would be a camcorder. You'd be in a lot of trouble then.
I'm just would I cam record the computers instead of the actual,
I guess so,
YouTube feed.
Yeah, those look like some radio headphones. $100. Yeah.
Yeah, they look all right. Not all of us are fancy Bose guys like Fisher over here.
Remember when radio stations provided the headphones for you? I worked barely got into the biz at the time where that still happened. They had like a whole drawer full, or they gave you individual pairs of headphones when you got hired.
We were lousy with Sennheisers at the old place. There was like $20 Sennheisers all over.
No, they weren't $20. They were like $100.
No, I'm telling you, I looked these up. These
were they really?
Oh, God. These were the cheapest Sennheiser headphones they could have found.
Well, some of them made them over here somehow. And every time you grab one, it's like, well, the plug-in is broken or the left ear doesn't work.
I still want to say the most disgusting thing that we have ever done was in the before COVID times where we all just shared the same mic cover.
Oh, that is the truth.
And there was some sort
of... They were not
like,
changed out.
And in the control room, there was some just sort of weird crust that was layered on it.
Weird crust on this one.
I mean, that's yours.
Not mine. I don't know where mine is. I pulled it out of the bin. I almost dropped the F-bomb there. I almost pulled it out of the effing bin.
Don't get on the mic right after somebody that chews tobacco talks, because that's
I'm changing
probably
this.
A nice minty scent.
I wouldn't call it minty. I'd call it like gross breath tobacco. That's what I'd call it.
Oakley doakley. Well, we do have a baseball show for you tonight. There's a lot to get into. The World Series has ended. We have champions. There's already movement. I'm going to steal a segment from my favorite people, the boys in the morning. I've got some factoids of the World Series that I'd love to share. There's a lot to get into, plus where we go from here. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. When we come back, the Los Angeles Dodgers are the World Series champions. Let's talk about how they got there and what made that go down. This is the Hot Corner Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
717, Portland Sports Leader here. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Patrick Harris, Joe Fisher with you. There's the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further in Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, after the sale. I actually just took my car in to get some things worked on that were under warranty. It was awesome. They picked it up from my house and delivered it back to my house. I can't tell you how much they will take care of you.
I was going to say something that some other services they might have provided, but I'm definitely not going to throw that all out.
What was interesting is the first guy did not speak English, and I got very, very scared of giving him the keys to my car. The second guy was like, hey, man, here's the keys.
Why did you get scared?
Stop the vote.
Hmm?
Stop the vote.
Why'd you get scared there,
bud? Stop the vote!
This got really awkward on here.
Holy yes. This is a weird Tuesday.
Hey, I will say, though, that sandwich looks really good. What is that, an Italian?
It is an Italian.
Italian grinder.
BLT.
Oh, nice.
So there's some bacon on it.
Bacon.
Makes me want some Red Hills.
Some garlic aioli, mustard.
I know you know about that Red Hills.
I know about that Red Hills.
It's good sandwiches out there.
Good shiz over there.
God.
Yeah. Did it scare you there for a
minute? Yes,
you
did.
I'm sure. I'm glad. I'm good. That's what you deserve, you chump. We got a lot to get into tonight. I got some fun factoids. But look, here's where we are. We are post-World Series.
Yes.
We did not get Game 7, which would be tonight.
Would it have been?
No, it would have been Saturday.
Okay,
my bad. I got excited.
What terrible timing on their part if that would have happened. Well, I'm talking about nobody consuming your content.
So Game 7 would have been on Saturday, but it ended back on Wednesday. Dodgers are the 2024 World Series champions. And I think what's, you know, I think we can all agree after watching that World Series that clearly the Dodgers were the better team.
Yeah, even before watching the series.
I think what's
I'm kind of mad I didn't lay any cash on that because I was pretty adamant.
We all were.
Yeah.
Now, the media, like they're doing tonight, if you are watching what's going on, definitely wanted to push something that was bigger than maybe it actually was. And I think we saw that on the field. The fact that Shohei Ohtani, with his dislocated shoulder, torn labrum, whatever the actual diagnosis is, did squad douche and the Dodgers win in five, that kind of tells you what's going on. And before we really dive into the Yankee issues, because I do want to get into that, was there ever really a moment, even when you watched Game 4 and the Yankees win, even when you watched Game 5 and the Yankees were up 5-0, was there anything really in your brain that made you think, this might be a different series?
Well, Game 5, there was a little bit of pucker factor. You go up 5-0. I mean,
you got your ace on the mound.
Momentum. Yes. Gerrit Cole's on the mound. I mean,
dealing.
You get it. They win that game. You're 3-2, and they're like, hey, take this back to LA. You know, anybody's ball game at this point. It's only a 3-2 series. Who knows what can happen? And then that fifth inning happened. And I'm sure we're going to get into that more as we go. But them being up 5-0, there was definitely. I think that if anybody were to sit here talking to you and think like, oh, no, I felt the Dodgers were going to still win that game, they'd be lying to you.
I agree with that. But was there anything in your brain at any moment before? And yeah, we will talk about the Yankee debacle in the fifth there. But was there anything in your brain that said, ooh, this is going back to L.A., Dodgers winning six?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
yes.
There was no like, ooh, Yankees sneak out a sixth and then we're here at seven and all bets are off.
Yeah.
That never in any moment crossed my mind, despite the Yankees being up 5-0 in the fifth. And Gerrit Cole dealing.
Yeah, I think that I had such faith on this Dodgers team for a while that they were going to end up pulling this out that, yeah, I just never. Even with them, even if they won game five, it's like, all right, they're going to go back to LA and they're just going to finish the series out there.
I had the very brief thought until the fifth inning started that Gerrit Cole, if he were available to pitch in game seven after the Yankees had won and taken it back to LA, it could be interesting, but that's like scenario with this happening and then this extra availability. Like it had to be like a really like unfortunate series of events.
And he looked really good in this series. You kind of started to wonder, is this a Curt Schilling, Randy Johnson kind of situation? Is this a Madison Bumgarner situation? Is this an Adam Wainwright situation where, yeah, the guy dealt for two games and I'm going to bring him in out of the bullpen in game seven and Cole locks down? Yeah, that is possible. I just, I asked this question to Joe, and I think he nailed it, and I'm right there with him. There was nothing about, even if the Yankees did win game five, there was nothing that would, there's no amount of money I could have put down on game six that the Dodgers would win. I just didn't believe it would go seven, even if they won that game.
Yeah,
I never believed this would go seven.
I would have been shocked if it went seven. I mean, before the series, I believe we both had it in five. Mm-hmm. I mean, even with the Yankees winning that one game.
And we both wanted to pick it in four.
Yeah. And we were watching. Yeah,
we really did want to pick it in four.
We were watching that game four develop, and the Yankees win big, and they score 11 runs, whatever it was. And we even said, we're like, yeah, this is cute, these Yankee fans being all excited at the stadium, knowing, you know, even with them going to lose the series tomorrow. Like, yeah. We even felt it then. It's like, all right, good, cool, they won one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good for you. You're going to lose tomorrow. And I probably still would have had the same mentality. Like, all right, cool, you took care of two games at home. Congratulations. You're going back to L.A. and you're going to lose it there.
But I'll start with this. I know the next, you know, in about 10 minutes, I want to get into
Maricopa County,
the disaster that is the fifth inning and how it, in my opinion, actually represents the Yankees as a whole. But as we watch this series, do you think we'll look back on it as a series that the Dodgers won or a series that the Yankees lost?
I'd have to say the Dodgers. Oh, God. Because now I'm thinking about the Nestor Cortez decision.
Right.
There's part of me that it leans. I'm leaning blue. Dodgers here.
I'll go with
that. They won this series versus the Yankees. Yes, the Yankees lost game five rather than the Dodgers winning, but yeah, that's one of those where I feel like the Dodgers, they were clearly the better team this series, and they took advantage of the opportunities that were in front of them.
I think I'm right there with you. I think when we look back at this series, you know, we're going to look at Freddie Freeman, okay? We're going to look at Walker Buehler. We're going to look at Blake Treinen. You know, those are the guys that I think are going to be noted. I think the Dodgers won this series. I think the only reason we sit here and I can ask that question and you look at me like, yeah, it's the Dodgers, but I think it's because.
Is that what I sound like?
I think it's because this thing was so hyped, you know, kind of like what's on our TVs right now is so hyped that you forget that there's clearly something better than the other. One of these things are not like the other. But in sports, which is the difference between the Electoral College, is you play it on the field. And as much as the media wanted to shove down our throats that the Yankees deserve to be there, I think the reality is that they did not deserve to be there. And the better team smoked them 4 out of 5 games. And I will tell you, I will even give you 3.5 out of 5 games. But that's still enough to win a World Series. If you're only good enough to play 1.5 good games, you don't deserve it.
No, I mean, again, it was Dodgers taking advantage of the opportunities in front of them. Yankees made decisions out there, whether it is Aaron Boone or the players themselves out there, and it did not pay off for them. So, I mean, if you give a team as good as the Dodgers those opportunities and they take advantage of them, they're seizing the opportunity. They're going out and winning. So that's where I lean, that the Dodgers won this more than the Yankees losing it.
The Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326.
Let's keep in mind, too, after the fifth inning, it was still tied. So, right. I mean,
you still have a chance.
Yes. Yes.
You're up in game one as well.
Sure, momentum has swung drastically, but it's still a tie game at that point.
I mean, just the feeling that you guys are describing of the Dodgers kind of being in control, even when the Yankees are up, like, there's really no worry for me. The Dodgers absolutely won this series, right? They, once again, I'll say it like for the fifth time, 5-9, they have the much better lineup in their bullpen. Trump the hell, ha 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 ha, election joke, trump the hell out of the New York Yankees bullpen.
Vancouver Ford text line, guys, Dodgers starting pitching was a mess. Roberts finally figured out how to manage. And I'm going to take the lead on this real quick, and then we'll get out on this. I agree. This is the best I've ever seen Dave Roberts. I thought he managed brilliantly for a majority of the World Series. I thought he handled that bullpen extremely well. I think he had his guys in the right spot. I think he knew who to start. I think he knew to bet on certain people staying in certain positions that Shohei don't look good, but he stuck with him at the top of the lineup because he said, okay, if Shohei's out, then I've got my real leadoff hitter right behind him. And Shohei was out every time, basically. And then Mookie drove the offense. Freddie knocked him in. Teoscar right behind him, et cetera, et cetera. The way he managed the bullpen on bullpen games, and that goes to show against San Diego, against the Mets, and against the Yankees. I still don't love Dave Roberts as a manager, but boy, he made leaps and bounds in this World Series, and I got to give him credit for that. And that's hard for me to say.
Oh, I know it is. Yeah, it's killing you right
for
now. You.
But it's difficult.
But yeah, I think what you said as far as how he managed the bullpen. I mean, even just like
Blake Treinen threw 35 plus pitches that inning.
Well, and also the balls to like just basically give them game four too. And saying, like, we're not going to pitch any of these guys in game four.
Yep.
We're going to save you because we feel so confident that if we keep them rested, we can end this series tomorrow.
I'm going to throw Joe Fisher the eighth out there, and I don't care if you hit two dingers off him. He's staying out there.
He might have done good. That Honeywell guy, he deserves all the pats on the back.
He really does, because he got left out for dead. Yeah, and Roberts is like, throw, buddy.
Just keep going. It's just
somebody's got to wear it, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know me. It hurts me to say it, but I'll give Roberts a lot of credit. That being said, the other guy in the other dugout who I will destroy, buckle up, okay? Because we got to talk about Booney, Cashman, and how this team is built. And let's talk about that famous, potentially the most famous fifth inning in the history of any World Series game. Can either of you tell me a more famous fifth inning in a World Series game than the one we saw the other night?
I could forget the 67 fifth inning, Patrick.
Oh,
right?
So good.
In what game?
Jeez. When we come back, let's dive into why you lost. That is the New York Yankees, but first, there's Schultzy with sports. Coming up at the 8 o'clock hour, we'll start to kind of look ahead, I guess, as there's a lot to get to when you start thinking about the 2025 Major League Baseball season. But I'd like to stay here at the World Series. I know it ended on Wednesday, because of course it did. We could have been here, Joe. We could have been here on Wednesday doing the World Series.
At 10 o'clock.
Off this week because there's, a Ducks insider basketball game.
A Ducks insider basketball game.
Whatever.
They're just melding both of them together now.
I don't know. You're number one in the nation, Oregon Ducks.
Well, not basketball, but yeah.
You know, my Cougs have a one in their
ranking.
Soon
enough, they do. I'm sure.
Sneaking in. I read a nice article about them upsetting the college football playoff structure this week.
Let's do it.
It's over!
Be fun.
So we got a lot to get to. Second hour plus we'll do a fair or foul at the bottom. I got some really fun, like serious and some silly factoids to steal from my good buddy Brandon Sprague, who does the morning show every Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 with Andrew Dirt Johnson. I got some factoids that I kind of clipped and I'd love to share. So we'll get to that at some point as well. Plus the start of free agent and looking forward. You know, there's already a lot of whispers of stuff going on. Did you know that Max Fried was in L.A. partying with the Dodgers?
Why?
Yeah, what?
Because he's an L.A. kid.
Because he's going to be a Dodger next year?
Potentially.
That's kind of stupid. That's a bad
potentially
look. You know, when Joe Torre came out a few years ago saying, hey, guys, on the field, don't fraternize when you're in uniform with each other on the opposite team. It's a bad look. I was kind of against that. This... No, that applies. Get the hell out of their party. What are you doing?
You have a ring.
Yeah.
Plus, there's gold glove winners, so that could be fun to go through as well. Plus, a couple for Jordan's team. A couple for my team as well.
Hey, losers are winners. Yeah, I love it. Hey, let's go. Hey.
Somebody on this show has no gold gloves. And
let me admit something. I had no idea there was a utility gold glove at all until this year. That's awesome.
I think it's great. So there's a lot to get to, but let's get into the most famous fifth inning in the history of the World Series. Yankees are up 5-0. Garrett Cole is dealing, right? Garrett Cole looks great. Did you know in that inning, Gerrit Cole gave up zero earned runs?
None of them were earned. I did know that.
Zero earned runs.
I don't know if you've seen the stat that is going around about that fifth inning. It was the first time in regular postseason history that it was five unearned runs. I believe also like a balk, a catcher's interference, three errors, and then one other qualifier, that all of these things happened in a game and ever. Like, I got to find the full stat because it's just like, Jesus, it really illustrates how bad that inning went for
you. You know what it is, Joe? Is I don't need to hear it. You know, like, I mean, I want to hear it because, like, you know, we're all nerds of baseball and I definitely want to hear that stat, but I don't need to hear it because I watched it. It's like, I
saw it with me eyes.
I can't fathom it. You know, and what's interesting is it comes from people that you could maybe expect. Okay, like the Volpe throw to Chisholm at third. Okay, that's a young kid. This is a first real postseason run. Loses a little bit of focus. Like maybe the lights are big. Okay, that I'm okay to deal with. The ball to Judge is not the easiest, but it's not hard.
Okay. You catch that ball.
You catch that ball. Like, I agree with you.
Come on. That's Little League crap.
I wonder when it starts to get into their head that, uh-oh, we got problems.
I would say it was probably once.
I think it's the Judge miss.
That, but I would say that the Rizzo, Gerrit Cole, no one getting to first, bad fielding on first, whoever you want to put the blame on. I personally put more of the blame on Cole, not covering first. Now, granted, you have to beat out, God, who even got to first? I think it was Mookie Betts. Like you have
it
to,
is Mookie.
Yeah, you have to try and beat Mookie in a foot race to first.
Tough
which,
to do. Tough to do.
But giving We're, up. Come on.
Rizzo also, like, I saw a stat today that ball had a 50-mile-per-hour exit velocity, and he did not change his depth in grounding that ball at all. Like, did not charge. He stayed literally the same exact depth on the field as he was to take that grounder. You need to charge and go and get that ball.
I know. I think it's the Volpe throw to Chisholm, I'll let slide. Not happily, but I'll let it slide. Judge,
unacceptable.
You at the plate outside of game four, you cannot miss that catch. The Cole Rizzo one is so interesting to me because I think the media is pinning this on Cole.
As they should.
I kind of disagree.
Really?
I kind of disagree. And a lot of that is because of Rizzo's body language when he came up with it. He came up with the ball and turned like, I expect you to be there. But it's like most guys get that ball and turn and go. And then they see the pitcher and they're like, okay, here you go.
Again, he didn't really
there was no effort from either of those guys.
Yeah, that's I think the pitcher
and
not
Rizzo
even.
Rizzo is a well-known defensive first baseman. You know, he might not have a, you know, Arenado's amount of gold gloves, but Rizzo is known as a really solid first baseman. And the fact that he got it and stopped and turned and was like, oh, there's nobody there, and Mookie's still running and had no instinct to try, it looked like two guys that were like, nah, your fault, nah, your fault.
Cole stopped
and it's
before
both
Rizzo.
Of your fault.
No, Cole stopped before Rizzo, though, and that's the problem, that Rizzo's still in the middle of fielding the ball, and I see Cole take, what, two or three steps and then kind of points. Like, dude,
Cole
pitcher, fielding, practice, you do it all spring training for a reason.
I kind of blame both of them. I kind of split the blame, which, you know, cop out, whatever, but Cole didn't even try. Rizzo did a terrible job being aggressive on fielding that ball. Like, I gave them both blame because if you, again, charge that ball, it was not hit that hard.
Nope,
you go and
wasn't.
Get that thing rather than waiting for it to trickle.
He made a great play
here.
On it. Like, he made a great defensive play on it. He snagged it.
Yeah. if you're Cole, you need to be at least making an effort to go and cover that base.
And I would argue if you're Rizzo, you take a step in case Cole is not ready to be there because you don't know where he is.
Well, and there's a good, you know, you can make the case for Rizzo is that the reason he somewhat took that effort at grounding that ball is because he assumed that someone was going to be covering first. But also you have to have the awareness of a player that who is at bat and Mookie Betts. And
he's fast.
Yeah, he's fast. And that he is going to, any infield grounder like that, he is going to try and beat out and hustle out.
The man has a two World Series rings and an MVP and a World Series MVP. You cannot assume he's Giancarlo on the base path.
Guys, Randy, I'll never forget this clip. It was the All-Star game. First time Randy faced Ichiro. Ichiro ran, got a base hit at first on like an infield grounder. Randy ran and tried to beat him out. That was a freaking All-Star game. I understand that Rizzo needs to make a little bit more effort, but it is on the pitcher to at least be in the damn area.
I lean the way that kind of like that is that I think Rizzo was assuming that Cole would be covering. And that's why he took the made the effort that he did is because he figured it was going to be a ground it, flip to first. And then he saw when he looked up after grounding that ball that no one was there. It was very much like a what?
And
what,
I think
where what's going on? And then it was a very much Spider-Man meme pointing at each other.
And I think I agree with you guys 90% of it. I think there's just the 10% of me is that Rizzo could have done more, and I can't get that out of my head. Cole is probably the guilty party in this, but there's just that little bit that I'm like, Rizzo, you might have got there before Mookie, but we will never know because you didn't try. If he got that and ran to first and didn't get there before Mookie, then we'd be like, Cole, that's probably Cole's job to get there. But the fact that neither of them did anything, I don't know how to absolve either of them.
Well, like if Rizzo maybe started, what, half a second even sooner than he did, he could have had the opportunity, hell, a full second and a half. He could have had the opportunity to dive and get it. Who knows? It really is just the question there. Yeah, I hear you.
And here's the full stat. Yankees are the only MLB team since earned runs were introduced in 1913 to blow a five-run lead, allow five unearned runs, commit three errors, commit catcher's interference, commit a balk, all in the same game.
And I'll tell you why all that happened. There is a huge overlying reason why all of this happens, and it's not baseball gods, and it's not the Dodgers being better. I will tell you why all that happened. We'll do that next. The Hot Corner, Tenney the Fan. Loaded second hour coming up, plus fair or foul at the bottom. The fan text line coming in strong. If Rizzo and Mookie ran a 100-yard dash, Mookie would beat him by 80 yards. That's the truth.
If that's the case, what would Giancarlo lose by?
Oh, man, dude. I can run faster. Rizzo's got two broken fingers on his glove hand. Coles knows that. He has to back up his first baseman there. I also love this one that goes, Harris, Cole should run towards first period. He screwed up. Fair enough.
Thank you. That's kind of my whole take on it.
I like the direct call out.
Come on.
Not just like, y'all are idiots. It's like, yo, Patrick, like, you suck. You're an idiot.
If he had moved a little bit further even, I think I could say, okay, the blame's more equal. But if you watch the clip, it's literally as Rizzo is still finishing fielding the ball, you see the kind of hand point or whatever that was from Gerrit Cole. It's like, what, do you want nothing to do with it? This is the World Series, brah!
I'll also give love to one of the greatest P1s in the history of 1080 The Fan. That's Rufio. He goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. I thought this was the Hot Corner. What's with the Dave Roberts love? So I got to give Rufio a little love there on that one. I did tell you that I thought Dave Roberts managed the hell out of this World Series. But I will also give you this caveat. We just talked about the fifth inning and how it was a disaster. I would like to share with you why I think the fifth inning was a disaster. This Yankee team lacks all sorts of things, okay? It lacks hitters 6 through 9. I think the bullpen was exposed outside of Gerrit Cole. There's not really a lot of aces on that squad. I wanted to say Pavano, Rodon, pick your poison. They both suck. Is a bad choice. Luis Gil, spotlight too big. And Clark Schmidt, not a true starter. A lot of that goes on Cashman. A lot of that goes on how this team is built. But the reality is this team lacks leadership. This team lacks fundamentals. This team lacks somebody that's willing to step up and say, hey, whatever the hell's going on, we're going to figure this out. Okay, this Yankees team misses a Kike Hernandez. They miss a Freddie Freeman. They miss a Mookie Betts, okay? Shohei Ohtani is the greatest baseball player in the world. Whether he hit or didn't hit, he is not the reason the Dodgers won. The Dodgers won based on leadership from Dave Roberts, Blake Treinen, Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw in the dugout, just talking to guys. This Yankee team lacks so much structural stability. Aaron Boone, like, this is on you, amigo. Yes, what I said about batters 6 through 9, starters, some bullpen, that's on Cashman. Boone can't take ownership of that. That's on Cashman. But as far as getting guys ready to go on a day-to-day basis, everybody's talking about that's a spring training day one move. Little League teams fight this. That's on Aaron Boone. And the fact that he's sitting there looking around going, man, this is falling apart and I got no answer for that. That's on you, amigo. That's on you. The fact that the best player for the Yankees, you could maybe argue was Gleyber Torres in the World Series, but the answer is Giancarlo Stanton, who I can get to first faster than him. You're talking about a guy that is a home run or an out. And yes, he was great, but if that's all you can rely on, that's poor leadership, that's poor fundamentals, that's poor, like, look at Mahomes last night on Sunday, on Monday night, okay? Baker, I thought Tampa had it. I really thought Tampa had it. And then Mahomes grabs a couple dudes, pulls them aside and goes, hey, we got this, right? And Reed's like, you guys got this, right? There's none of that from Boone. And I know it's easy for me to just bash on him and kill him all the time about this, but he showed it to us. If Cole and Rizzo are pointing fingers at each other, Spider-Man meme, that's leadership. You know, if that's Walker Buehler and Freddie Freeman, they're both like, ah, how did we miss this? How did we screw this up? I think this World Series is on Boone. I think it's Nestor Cortez in game one. I think it's the meltdown in game five with no leadership. And I think it's not preparing his team to be ready for the big show.
Well, I would also then say, like, as much as I agree with you, is that, all right, well, then how much do we put on this on Cashman constructing this roster and this team around for him to manage poorly?
Oh, I think Cashman takes a big grab of it. I think the difference is that Cashman is the problem on a whole, but in the moment, it's on Boone.
Yeah, it's out of his hands, but I don't know, man. Again, it's...
They're both guilty.
There's part of me, though, that it's just like... This is part of the reason why we felt the way that we did about coming into the series as far as the Dodgers winning, because we knew that the talent wasn't there. If we were going to trust one of the managers over the other, it was going to be Dave Roberts. We saw some of the kind of the inconsistencies and flaws of this team and their undisciplined play in the series before. Like, while we can be here and be, I don't know if shocked is the right word, but just be like, bro, boom, what are you doing? But it's like, is it all that surprising?
No, it's not surprising. I think
from the way the team is constructed to the way that Aaron Boone is as a manager, how we've seen it in years past. I mean, it kind of just came to a front against a team where it's so good that if you give them those opportunities, they'll take advantage of it.
I agree. I think when you look at people like, okay, Terry Francona in the 16 World Series, okay, he came up against a lot of adversary on how to win this against a better team. And he was able, based on whether it's bullpen moves or pinch hitting guys, he was able to keep them together. Ned Yost failed in 2014 and he learned from it. And in 15, like sending Alex Gordon from third, you send him and Yost held him up, or at least his third base coach held him up. They learned from that. and went to the 2015 World Series and set Hosmer. And it was a big run scored to help win that World Series. I just don't see Boone evolving from that. And I think that's the biggest problem, is that when things are falling apart, you need a crisis management. You need someone to show up and say, time out.
There was a moment, and
I don't think Boone's doing that.
Yep.
And I think it was in game five, maybe even game three, where there was, it just kind of panned over to him in the dugout, and it just kind of looked like one of those where he's like, I don't know what to do.
Right.
Well, it's not his fault.
And you can't look that way. Even if you
just
don't know what to do.
Kind of looking around, chewing on his seeds.
Even if you don't know what to do, you can't look like it. Like, I'm a manager at a restaurant, and when things are going down and somebody looks at you and says, hey, what do we do? Now, obviously, this isn't game five of the World Series. This is just a Friday night in the Pearl.
It can get pretty intense in there.
But the answer in your head can say, I don't know, but you can't show that to everyone.
It was making it seem like he couldn't chomp his gum any harder at some points. I hear you. But man, what do you do when what do you do when Aaron Judge is hitting a buck 90? When Jazz Chisholm hitting a buck 90? Half of your infield was on the Miami Marlins to start the year. I'd say it's a little difficult to do what Aaron Boone does.
Hey, but doing nothing at this point when it's not working is worse than doing something.
Well, I mean,
I think if Boone does something and says, you know what, let's move Gleyber down. He's hitting well. Let's move him down. We'll put Soto first. Let's get Judge at second.
Yeah.
Let's just see. Let's get him some extra, potentially an extra at bat. He moves Stanton down the lineup, and I thought that was brilliant. And Stanton kept hitting, but he didn't do that with anybody else. It's just, The idea of not trying when things aren't working looks worse than trying and failing again. I'd rather Boone try something and fail than stick with what he's got and continue to fail.
Yeah, I hear you. I just also think that it's like he just doesn't have a lot of options. Like, he is he's limited in his resources, is the alternate routes he can go with the roster. Like, I just feel like he was doing the best he could with, you know, trying to make a mountain out of a molehill, trying to make lemonade out of lemons. Like, he had what he had, and that's where I kind of look at like Cashman, and it's just like, we need to do something and build this team up a little bit better, because while Luke Weaver was great as a closer, this was the first time ever him being in the bullpen this year. It's
Clay Holmes was super volatile.
Yeah, and it's like, I feel like they didn't really do anything to solve that problem as the season went on, and it was kind of one of those like, oh, Luke Weaver, oh, please save us. And it's just like, dude, I don't do this normally, but yeah, I'll give it my best. And it kind of came to a head towards the end of the season at the end of the postseason. And again, I just feel like Boone, he did not do as much as he could, but also I feel like he didn't have as much resources to use.
To that point, Mark Leiter, Tim Mesa, guys that had pretty good ERAs during the postseason. I'm not saying that they're outstanding all-star pitchers.
I think Leiter was brutal in this.
He had a 1.69 ERA in the postseason.
That's insane.
I know, right?
He looked bad when I saw him on the mound.
He didn't look great, but he was able to get guys out, and you just wonder, okay, I'm rooting for a team that's had really good bullpen management up until the last 2 months of this season with Scott Servais before he was fired in the Mariners. You wonder if Aaron Boone just literally can't manage a bullpen. There is a skill as a manager to find that hot hand and to stick with it at the right perfect time,
sure,
and then to back off at the perfect time.
And I saw Stephen Vogt fail with that with Class A.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think Aaron Boone has that skill either.
Question real quick, and we'll get out of here, and then we'll move on to the second hour. Who's more to blame for this? Just choose one. Boone or Cashman?
I mean, I lean towards what you're saying. It's like, in the moment, you gotta do something, and he didn't. So I lean Boone, but I feel like this is really one of those 51-49, 271 electoral votes to 269.
This is Georgia on a Tuesday night in November.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Aaron Boone, but he is up on the Brian Cashman petard, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think Cashman did not give him a good hand, but I don't think Boone played it very well.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. When we come back, we got a loaded second hour. I'm going to steal from the boys in the morning from Dirt and Spray and give you a little World Series factoids. We can have it a little fun and come back down to earth. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hot Corner, Today the Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com